Let's say your child wants to learn how to sing or play an instrument. There's a place for that. It's called the School of Rock. Hi, this is Candy O'Terry. Welcome to the story behind her success. In the spotlight, the COO. It wasn't easy keeping this learning company afloat during the pandemic, but she did it, and the School of Rock is thriving today, not just in the United States, but around the world. Her name is Stacy Ryan, and this is her story. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Candy.
It's a delight to see you here. We've got so much to talk about. Take us back to where the School of Rock was in terms of students and population before the pandemic.
Right before the pandemic, we were just surpassing our mark of 35,000 students worldwide. And then into the pandemic, we dipped down into about the low 20,000 students.
The company uses a franchise model. How many franchises did you have pre-pandemic?
Pre-pandemic, we were approaching the 300 locations mark.
Well, I'm looking at incredible numbers here. Right now, you've got 364 locations in 18 countries, and you even inspired a movie and, of course, a Broadway play. I'm guessing that most of your students experienced their music lessons in person before the pandemic, and then the world changed.
Correct.
Walk me through it.
We teach kids music by putting them in bands and on stages. So our whole business is about bringing kids together in a room, playing instruments, and singing loudly in this room. We were not made for the global pandemic at all. The pandemic should have really put us out of business because of what is at the core of our mission. When it happened, when everything needed to shut down, we knew that we had to keep the music going. And the most important part of School of Rock is not the music education, but the community building. And the fact that our students find security and confidence and self-worth in our programs. And we knew the impact that not just the pandemic would negatively have on mental health, but the impact that we have on improving mental health and suicidal ideation. So we quickly pivoted to a complete online operation so that we could keep our students connected, keep them performing music, and we just innovated like we've never innovated before.
You know, I'm trying to imagine what this must have been like on these Zoom calls with your team. And with your instructors saying, okay, guys, we can't do this one-on-one. We have to create an entire virtual curriculum.
I always say it was one of the darkest times, but also one of the times that I am most proud of within my career, because when I look back at it and I see how we came together and I see how we not only survived, but really thrived coming through it, I'm really proud of the way everyone came together for this greater cause.
Well, music, whether you are learning to play an instrument or develop your voice as a singer, Stacy, it's such a personal, creative experience. How did School of Rock manage to make virtual learning inspiring?
It was a challenge. Our one-on-ones were simple, right? That was except for drums. Drumming through Zoom was a challenge that we had to navigate. But then it was really through the innovation. So instead of having our end of season performances on stage because everything was closed, everybody recorded their part, sent it in, and then we put it onto records. So everybody got a record of their performance.
So exciting, right?
Yeah, we did shows in movie theaters, in parking lots. I mean, we did anything we could. We started a artist guest series. So every week, only for School of Rock students, they could log in and do a virtual Q&A and meet and greet with some artists that really inspire them.
Leading through turbulent times, how did you stay motivated and how did you motivate those around you?
It was a daily task. But what I quickly implemented was, with so much going wrong and so much negativity, We started every call with a piece of good news. It didn't have to be School of Rock related. It could be personal related, and everyone had a chance to share. And our rule was, even if you have nothing, find something positive to share. And we focused in on the things that we could control. And our motto during that time really was turning lemons into lemonade. And how are we going to do that?
Well, speaking of turning lemons into lemonade and bringing the best out in others, what's your leadership philosophy? How do you lead?
I lead very transparently. I always tell my team when they're starting to work with me, you'll never have to question how I feel. And sometimes you're going to love that, and sometimes you're not.
Not so much.
Right? But it's always very clear. I understand that it is a true partnership.
Yeah.
For me to do my job well, I need my team to do their job well also. So we're really in it together. And, you know, my leadership skills and approach have changed a lot throughout my career, but I think that's probably normal for most.
Are your teachers seasoned musicians? Are they vocalists themselves? How do you attract them to the School of Rock?
We pride ourselves on hiring gigging musicians. There's a lot of pros that come with that because they have the knowledge and the experience and the street cred, we'll call it. However, there's also the more challenging parts where we explain to all of our parents, hey, the instructor may get a tour. They may get signed. So we have to be flexible with that. But we really encourage the students to focus on the music side of it. And if they need a fill-in instructor, they get a fill-in instructor for the day. And it's not that big of a deal.
Let's talk about your music programming. Everything is according to the patented School of Rock method. Explain this methodology.
The methodology is all focused on teaching through the song first. So we don't teach kids music theory by saying, this is the theory, this is what it is. What we do is we say, this is a song that you're going to be learning and playing with your band this month. Let's start learning the parts. And as we break down the parts and then they get and understand that part, then we bring it back to the theory and say, well, what you just played is this, and that's what this means. The greatest part of it is we're doing it through classic rock. So our students leave and they're learning songs that their parents grew up with. Rolling Stones, Beatles, AC/DC, Kiss. Like, that's the music that they're playing, the songs that their parents love to hear and reminisce with.
It's interesting because when you talk about those artists and you talk about those songs, it lights you up. Are you a rock girl? Do you love rock and roll? Talk about that a little bit.
I do. My first band that I would say I was really into was the Beatles.
Oh.
And that's my go-to. If I had to choose one band that I could only listen to the one band for the rest of my life, it would be them.
On a desert island.
Exactly.
The whole Beatles catalog will keep you company for a long time. There's also a progression from beginners to advanced. So you start with 4 and 5 year olds for their first musical experience, but you go all the way up to adults. It's Rock 101, it's rookies. Explain that whole thing.
Sure. So based on the age and the experience, we have programs that are tailored fit to every stage of someone's musical career. So our younger programs, like our Little Wing, like our Rock 101 or our rookies actually, is more focused on the opportunity of bringing the kids together and teaching them the love of music. What is a beat? What does that sound like? They get to touch and play and learn all of the instruments so that as they get older and now we're looking to really hone in on one instrument, they kind of have an idea of which one they want to go to. And then we ask them before they go into that Rock 101 or performance program, okay, what do you want to play? And they typically will know what they want to focus the most on. And then as we get more advanced, we have what we call our All-Stars program. And our All-Stars are the top 0.7% of our system. So it's 65,000 students worldwide. Similar to an American Idol approach, a series of auditions that go from local to video to live, we dwindle it down to about 170 students. And these 170 students are our All-Stars for that year. And what they get to do is fly in from all different places around the world and get on a tour bus. We have 7 different tour buses. They rehearse together for the first time. They spend 2.5 days rehearsing, and then they get on a tour bus, and they travel the country over a 10-day period. different city in a different venue every single night.
Oh my God, I would have wanted to be signed up for this so much when I was a little girl. And you know, one of the things that I'm getting out of the curriculum philosophy here is the freedom of music versus the regimen of music. Allowing the love part to come in first to open the child up to all the possibilities for themselves in music. Right. Let's step back for a minute and talk about where you come from and what life was like when you were growing up. Where are you from?
I was born in Howard Beach, Queens, and in about middle school, I moved out to Monmouth County, New Jersey.
Paint us a picture. What was life like in your house? Was the music always playing?
No, it wasn't. My older sister was very passionate about music. I think she was probably the first place I started to hear it. My father was an attendee to the original Woodstock. He was very passionate about music. He still has his ticket in his drawer. I pull it out every now and then and look at it.
You're kidding me. What did he say about Woodstock?
Oh, we haven't talked about it all too much since I've been an adult, but I know he remembers it quite fondly. And my father has always really been into music and would pull out records and play his 45s. And that's where I first started to discover music as a child. And I would sort through the records and pull those out and play them. And that was the first time I had heard a Beatles album.
How about brothers and sisters?
I have an older sister and a younger brother, and all three of us are big music lovers.
What role did your parents play in terms of values that they instilled in you growing up?
So many. I'm so grateful and lucky to have the parents that I do. They have always supported me and encouraged me to push forward. It was with my mom where I really developed the love of education and enriching children's lives. My mother ran a daycare within our home. And she did that throughout my entire life, and just watching her taking care of other people's children with the same passion and love that she took care of her own children really instilled with me how important that is and what a big obligation when somebody trusts you with their child. That's such an honor and something that has to be taken so seriously. So I have spent my entire life working with other people's children, whether it was babysitting or I used to manage children's birthday parties and indoor amusement park. I thought I wanted to be a kindergarten teacher at one point. And then I did supplemental tutoring, educational preschool, and then
and here you are, nine years ago,
School of Rock.
Where did you go to college, and did you know what you wanted to do at that time in your life?
I went to Rutgers University, so I'm a true Jersey girl, and I knew I wanted to be a kindergarten teacher.
How did that go sideways for you?
It was interesting. I did my student teaching. I was ready to go. I went in for the interview at the school, and the smell of the cafeteria candy just turned my stomach when I walked in, which was interesting because it was the same building I had student taught in also. And all of a sudden, it just felt different. And I trusted my gut, and I remember going home, and I told my mom, I don't think I want to do this. And she said, no, it's great vacations and pension and great hours. And I said, you know, you just named all the wrong reasons to be a teacher. So for the first time and the only time in my life, I took a job that did not involve children, and I managed a home health aid agency. So I went from one end of the life spectrum to the other.
What was the lesson that you learned there?
I learned to listen to my gut, and I also learned that I loved business. That's where I realized that I really enjoyed office management and business management. And within a year, I realized I loved that, but I really had a gap, and that was working with children. And I missed that also. So that's when I moved on to Huntington Learning Centers, because it was a good combination of both for me.
Where does the financial piece come in as the COO? Explain that.
So I ran a independent learning center myself for many years. Then I ran the region for years. Then I moved on to Goddard Preschools. I ran a section. I created actually a department within their operations where we focused on the top and bottom performers to help them really either turn their business around or learn from those top performers. And then I came to School of Rock. And throughout that journey, so much of the importance is reading a P&L and understanding what's coming in and what's going out? How do we fine-tune things? Where are we being less effective? Where can we be more efficient? And having those conversations, not just with myself, with other managers, and then eventually with owners of businesses also. So it was really something that just developed along the way.
What is the goal in terms of growth for School of Rock?
We're 364 locations, 19 countries, and 65,000 students worldwide. But we have a really important mission to do, which is to really help as many people as we can find their place, find their community, find their purpose, and find their love of music. So our growth aspirations aren't going to stop until there's a School of Rock on every inch of this globe for every person who's looking for that place.
How do you get big and stay personal?
That is such an important part of our community. So it sounds silly, but to keep that personal connection, be very strategic. And what I mean by that is myself and our president, we will sit down every year and look at the list of all the schools and see what was the last visit we did, who was it by, and we plan out our entire year to ensure that we are getting out there in our community and spending time with the people because they're the ones that deliver our purpose and our mission every single day.
Advancing women in corporate leadership roles is a passion for you. So you created Front Women. I love that title. A community resource group. Tell us all about it and how it works.
Front Women is my passion project that I started back in 2020. It was interesting, Candy, because my whole career, I started entry level. I worked my way up. I've sat in many boardroom tables surrounded by 14 men and one other woman of leadership and one other woman taking notes. And I'm mindful of my surroundings and the rooms that I'm in and who's in them with me. And when I finally got awarded COO, I, for the first time in my career, felt like I could exhale and take a breath. And I also almost instantly felt this increased level of responsibility because I know I am part of a very small group. C-suite positions, only 27% of them are held by women. And less than that, only one in 16 are women of color. And I knew the battle that I had to face to get to where I was. Mm-hmm. And I felt this responsibility to help pay it forward. I've been blessed with incredible mentors and experiences and learning opportunities in my life and in my career. And I wanted to find a way to just help make that path a bit smoother for others coming up behind me. And that's where Front Women came to. So it's a community resource group that is open to anyone and everyone. You don't have to be a female if you just want to be part of the change, please join us. And what we do is quarterly meetings where women come on, or men, and we just talk through certain situations, imposter syndrome, how to overcome it, how to fight microaggressions. Every time I learned so much. We just did an incredible panel discussion back in January with four women who inspire me so much, and I learned so much from there as well. And then we also have quarterly newsletters. So every quarter we'll interview a trailblazer woman who's just making a difference and ask her, what have your learnings been? What advice do you have?
Sounds
what
like the story behind resources? Her success show to me.
Very much. Very much, Candy. Maybe on one of our features.
And women are so willing to share their story. No holds barred, right? And I do believe that we stand on each other's shoulders. You mentioned mentoring. Are you a mentor now?
I am. I mentor as many people who are interested in hearing what I have to say. I still have many mentors as well. And I'm a big believer that mentorship happens at every level. Mm-hmm. So you have someone above you who helps you learn what you're trying to get to. You have someone next to you who's learning with you that you can really learn together. And then you mentor somebody mm-hmm. beneath you because I learn from those relationships also. And as I get older, you know, technology does change quite quickly. And sometimes there's trends that I'm not familiar with that I learn through them and their fresh eyes coming into things. So I work with many women who will come to me and want to just talk through advice. I also mentor through a partnership with Jason Flom, who is a founding board member of the Innocence Project. I mentor exonerees as well, who are people who were wrongfully convicted and imprisoned for a crime they didn't commit.
Inclusivity is a commitment School of Rock has made and which you strongly support. Tell us about why creating an inclusive community is central to the school's vision.
Well, as I said before, School of Rock is really the place for everyone who feels like they don't have a place. We don't care about the clothes you're wearing, your pronoun, your gender, your skin color, your hair color. We don't care about any of that. All we care about is the music. In my 9 years with School of Rock, I have had thousands of conversations with parents and students and former students on how School of Rock saved their lives because they didn't feel like they belonged anywhere. And they felt like a weirdo or an outcast. And then they came into School of Rock and it was, these are my people. This is my place. And all we care about really is making great music together. And there's so many lessons that are learned, not just about playing the instrument, but just about life in general that our students take with them for the rest of their lives.
When an obstacle is in your path, how do you get around it, Stacy?
That also has changed throughout my career and my professional maturity. If it's something that is not going to move and is in my way and something I believe, I find a detour. I do. And I've had to do that throughout my career as a woman in a leadership role. Sometimes you're not heard the same way. Sometimes your ideas aren't as relevant. So there have been several times in my career where I've had to say, okay, they're not going to get on board, but I know this is really important because of X. And I always ensure that I rise above situations. So when I look back, I want to be proud of the way that I handled it, and I will find my way around and I'll find a detour that doesn't really cause much friction.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever received, and can you pass that along to us today?
I had a dear friend pass away suddenly. He was one of my mentors, both in business and in life, and really helped me navigate a tough time in my life. And I'll never forget when I went to visit him, and I sat on his hospital bed, and he grabbed my hand, and he said, "Girlfriend, you need to know your worth." And it was incredibly powerful, and I remember that. And sometimes it's easy for us to forget our worth because we're expected to look and to sound and to behave a certain way. And looking around a room and seeing not many others that look like me, I have to remind myself I'm in that room because I belong in the room. And knowing my worth is the most important thing. And even at times where sometimes I question it, I push myself to remember it for him, because I know he's watching down.
I believe we live our lives in chapters, Stacy. Right now, in this chapter of your life, what does success mean to you?
Success to me means just fulfillment and purpose. And I am so grateful and humbled that I have found those at School of Rock. And throughout my life and career, I've heard people say, "Oh, find something you love to do and you'll never work a day in your life." Everyone's heard that. At some point, I think everyone hears it and is like, "Okay, that's BS. That's not a real thing." I'm here to tell you it is. What better way is there to bring people together from different beliefs, different cultures, different political standpoints? Music erases all of that.
I want to say thank you, Stacy, so much for sharing your story today on The Story Behind Her Success. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And that's The Story Behind Her Success for this week. My thanks to Stacy Ryan. She's the COO of School of Rock. Find out more about their programming for budding musicians and more advanced artists from age 4 all the way through adulthood at schoolofrock.com. And thank you for listening. I'm always on the lookout for the next woman to profile. So if you know someone I should feature on the show, will you please let me know? Just go to CandyOTerry.com. That's Candy with a Y, OTERRY.com. I'll have a new inspiring story for you next week. And remember, when we lift each other up, we all rise. What's your story? I can't wait to hear it.